Do now the laws of davening, Hilchos Tefillah, and we're up to chapter 96 and Tzadik Vav. Over here, the heading is Sheyimna Kol Atirdos Kedei Sheyikaven Aboy Gimel Sifim. One should remove all worries so that he can have good intentions and that direct his mind in the prayer. Aboy Gimel Sifim. There are three subsections. Subsection 1, Aleph. When you daven, don't hold tefillin in your hands. Don't hold any other holy book in your hand. Not a full plate. Not a knife. Not money. And not a loaf. The reason for all these things is because your heart, your mind, your heart is on them. You're worried. You don't want to drop the tefillin. You don't want to drop the book. You don't want to turn over the plate. You don't want to poke yourself with a knife. You don't want to drop the money or the loaf. So therefore, you're all worried that it shouldn't fall. So if you're going to worry about it, v'yitrat, so your mind is going to be confused or you're going to be occupied with this battle kavanosi, and then you're in kavana, your intention for the davening is going to be taken away. But other items, other items that if they fall, they won't get lost, they won't hurt him. They're permitted to be held by the din. The knife, for example, might hurt him. Other things might get lost. So legally speaking, halachically speaking, one is allowed to hold because it doesn't take up any mind really that much to, you don't worry about that much. Elosha mitzvah min hamufchar, but the mitzvah in the choicest way is shaloi leches klum, is not to hold on anything. You shouldn't hold anything. Eloyu yodov kifusim, but your hands should be sort of tied. Ko'imed lifnei hamelech, like you're staying before the king. He said that the tradition was when they stayed before the king, they fold up their hands, tied up in a way like that. And kimeshukosu simet tzadik hei siv dalet, as written in Siddur Tzadik Hay, subsection 4. I noticed something very unique over here. All the time, the Rebbe inside of the text, he never says which subsection it is. He always says the section. In the footnotes, they tell you which subsection over here. For some reason, it says right in it and which subsection it is as well. Perhaps it just ended up jumping in there, because it's also possible that when he wrote it, he didn't divide it up to subsections. He only divided later, so he just referenced the general chapter, and then later on he made the subsections. I didn't have the computer ability to later on just change it as it goes along, but whatever the case is, over here it does say Siv Dalet. However, he says, what about the lulav bismani, in the time that we hold the lulav during Sukkot? Muter lechels, that is permissible to hold on. Now, I'm not sure when do we hold the lulav during the tefillah, during the Amidah. I'm not so sure what he's referring to over here. He's talking about sukkah over here, but maybe the person doesn't have a place to put it down or something, so he's holding it even during the Amidah, I'm assuming. But he says, afa pishim yipol efshashi yifsel, even though if it falls it might get ruined, and that would be sort of preoccupying your mind, but he says it's okay to hold it during the davening. Since holding it is a mitzvah, the person does not get distracted because of it. But I'm not sure what he means that holding it is a mitzvah during the Amidah, because we do it during Hallel, we hold it, or we do it when we say the Bracha. I'm not sure exactly. I see there's a footnote to Lakutei Siches over there, and I'm wondering if it's over there he addresses it. Not sure, I gotta look this up. Sif Beis, subsection 2. Muter lechel sidr biyodei b'shosha mispala. I knew somebody was gonna ask, what about holding this sidr that you're praying in? If you're not allowed to hold the book, you're allowed to hold the book you're davening at the time that you're davening. Shekivon sha'ichze l'tzedech hatfila, because since you're holding it for the purpose of the prayer, so you don't get disturbed, you don't get distracted because that's actually used. If you didn't have the sitter in your hand before you started, so don't go around in the davening to go find the sitter. I mean, unless he doesn't know how to continue, we'll say Shum Hefsik, because that would be an interruption. You're middle of davening. You shouldn't go start looking for a sitter then. Unless the sitter was in a designated place, that it's prepared. He doesn't have to go searching for it. It's right there. Then you can take it even in the middle of the davening. On the condition that you're taking it in order to daven from inside it. So to use it, to use the sitter, and you know where it is, then you can go ahead and take it. But I'm assuming that we're talking about somebody who knows the prayer orally, because if he doesn't know it orally, and then he didn't take a sitter, so what is he going to do? You know, you see, a lot of times, you know, people think they know the prayers orally, and then they realize they need a sitter, or sometimes they realize, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh, I don't know how to say Yalav Yavo, I don't know how to say something else, and then all of a sudden they're looking for a sitter. Chol HaMispalel B'toch HaSidur, he says, anybody praying from a sitter, he should be careful that he should make himself a note or a sign that before he davens, what he needs to daven by his tefillah in that prayer, because the prayer book include various different parts of it. It's not start searching in the davening for what I have to say today or not. I mean, they try to clarify it, but the real problem comes like Musaf on Yom Tov when the changes in the lot between the difference and, you know, because then he's going to be interrupting through looking where he's what to say, and he will not intend well. In the olden days, in my days, when I was growing up, they had the sitter, had a lot of turning pages. Today they made it easier for people. They include most of it in the order. You don't have to go back. In the olden days, they'd print like one time Oleinu, and for all the davenings, go back to the Oleinu over there, go look for it, or go, you know, it's the same prayer, so they would look for it, they combine. But lately, they come together, they print it, you know, they make it easier, so you don't have to go search for the davening. And you know, that's the story about the rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov. That's a famous Chabad house story about the Baal Shem Tov coming to this man's house, and they treated him very nicely, and he asked where the owner of the house is, and they said, well, he's praying. He was surprised. He prayed for a very, very long time. Remember, I told that story? You remember? You know that story or not?
I might have heard it, but tell.
So he prayed for a very long time, and when he came out, the Baal Shem Tov asked him, how come he's praying for so long? He says, because he doesn't know exactly what to say when, so he does the whole sitter, so he stands. You know that story?
Yeah.
So at the end, he told him to continue praying that way because, you know, he did it. He lost the pains because he was able to walk on do the miracle that the Baal Shem Tov was, to cross the river on his gartel, you know, like the Baal Shem Tov did. So he told him, oh, you know what, just continue praying like you did. You don't need, because he realized that he was a holy man because he really meant what he prayed. Anyways, Esiv Gimel, Nafal Sefer Lefonov Al Ha'oretz. If in front of you there's like a book, sometimes it happens, falls on the ground. Now, and because of this, you're distracted because there's a book on the floor, there's a sefer. A chumash fell off the table, it's by your legs over there. You're allowed to pick it up when you conclude the bracha, which you're standing. You finish the bracha, it can't move from your place, but you can bend down to pick up the sefer. So that is that's the end of section 96.